Last Sunday before Thanksgiving. Can you believe it's already that time of year? Seems like it was just summer, doesn't it? But on this last Sunday before Thanksgiving, Paul is going to take us to a very interesting place. He's going to take the Galatians to a very interesting place. And by way of us studying the scriptures, he's going to take us there as well. And he's going to give us some very specific attributes about what it looks like to live in Christian community. You know, we've been in Galatians all fall, and we're on the home stretch here. We're these verses 1 through 10, and we're on the home stretch. A couple more weeks, we'll be in Christmas time and Advent. But he is going to talk to us about what does it look like to live in Christian community. You know, so far he's told us that over and over and over it's felt like, hadn't it, that salvation is by grace alone and Christ alone. By faith alone in Christ alone, over and over and over. And over and over and over, he says, it's Jesus plus nothing. He's just hammered that home. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And then last week, we started to get practical, didn't we? We looked at the results of what a life lived in the flesh would be like, didn't we? And focused on self, and a life lived focused on the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And then this morning, we're going to get really, really practical. And it all hinges on verse 2, where Paul says, carry each other's burdens. And everything else he says out of that, in the context of that, is going to be an example of what it looks like to carry one another's burdens. But he says it very clearly, carry each other's burdens. And then he gives two assumptions. One, all people have burdens that we understand. All people have burdens, and no one, in the context of Christian community, no one should carry them alone. Then he gives us a real practical example of that in verse 1. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, he gives us a very practical example, and maybe one that you and I wouldn't pick as one of the first ones, but it's a very practical example of what it looks like in the context of Christian community to carry one another's burdens. He says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. You see, it's very interesting here. He's showing us that one of the contexts or one of the ways we carry one another's burdens is to actually confront one another and challenge one another with the goal of restoring one another. He says it's love through correction and restoration. If caught, then restore. It's what to do with a brother and sister in Christ if they're caught in a sin. If there's a problem in their life, if they're caught in a sin. Now, this word caught could mean a couple things. It could literally mean if they were caught in the act of sin, like Jesus, when the woman who was caught in adultery in John chapter 8, she was brought to him. She was literally caught in the act. Or it could mean that you're entangled in a sin so much so that you're unable to get yourself out. And if you're caught in a sin, you need a brother or sister in Christ to help you get out. If someone is caught in sin, there are not multiple options. The only option for those who walk in the Spirit is to restore that person. And with restoration comes confrontation. But the exhortation, the challenge is to restore. There's a qualification for those who restore. It says, you who live by the Spirit. I know some of your versions say who are spiritual. But you who live by the Spirit, those who are walking in the Spirit, remember last week we just got that list of the spiritual, the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And those are the fruits of a person who is walking in the Spirit, and those are the types of a person who would be this person to confront or to restore. They're not a perfect person, but they're not caught in sin themselves. It doesn't mean sinless. It means they are dealing with their life and their sin well. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, Jesus gives us a really good example of what it looks like to restore a person. He says this, if a person sins, first go and point out their fault. So the first thing you should do is go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you, if they listen, you have won them over. If they don't listen, then he gives you kind of a second step or second option. The second thing is you take one or two people with you along so that the matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So it's good to take two or three people along with you. If they don't respond, well, you take two or three people along with you, and they are witnesses. They can test whether you're handling it right, and they can also test that person's response. The third thing is tell it to the church. Now, this has always bothered me a little bit. I have a picture in my head of somebody just standing up in church and hollering, you know, I know Tim. He drives too fast past my house every day. I've told him about it. But it's not that at all, I think. I think it's a very gentle process. It's a very respectful process. And it would be something more like, especially at fellowship, it'd be probably involving your community group leader, your small group leader. So if you're a small group leader, you would be involved in that eventually. And then it would involve staff, probably. And eventually, if it's important enough, or if it went to that point, it would involve elders. But you tell it to the church. And then if they still don't respond, you treat them as you would an unbeliever or a tax collector. Got any tax people in here? They're afraid to raise your hand this morning, aren't you? This is the one passage my dad always appreciated. He'd laugh at. It's not our current tax people. That's not what we're talking about here. The tax collectors in the day were some of the most disliked people because they were very dishonest. They kind of took some of the money themselves, and they were dishonest. But think about it. The fourth step is you treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. How do you treat an unbeliever? With love, don't you? Maybe not so much trust at times, but with love and kindness and respect so as to woo them into the body of Christ. So it's a great process of restoration, great process of pointing things out. So in addition to restoring that person, you who live by the Spirit, it talks about this idea of restoring them and restoring them gently. You're calling out sin and restoration. It should be done gently. It's how ironic is that, that it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, that you should confront a person, but you should do it with gentleness and respect. You don't have to be perfect, but you should be someone who walks with God and deals well with sin. And then he gives us a warning. Look at that. Watch out. Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. To learn about sin and to enter in, to confront somebody of their sin is a dangerous thing. It's a hard thing. And so knowing yourself, recognizing the situation, walking in the Spirit is very important. And so you know when to get involved and when you shouldn't get involved. Then in verse 2, he brings us back to his key verse. That we could carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And there, he's just assuming those two things. He's assuming that we all have burdens, and we all need help with people carrying those burdens. And the result is that you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, don't you think it's interesting in this book where over and over and over the people are struggling with the law and they're trying to re-implement the law. They're trying to live legalistic lives. And now Paul is saying it's not the Mosaic law, it's the law of Christ. And I'd love for us to take time to compare those two laws, but we don't have time this morning. But what we do know is that the Mosaic law was designed to expose sin, but the law of Christ was simply grace and love. It's all about love. Fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus is the ultimate burden carrier. Jesus uses people like you and me to carry each other's burdens. Remember what he said in the Gospels? My yoke is easy and my burden is what? It's light. He's the ultimate burden carrier, and he uses people like you and me to carry burdens and so to fulfill the law of Christ. Just about a half a chapter earlier, Paul says this. He says in Galatians 5:14, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So this brings up the question, what happens with a person, or what does a person look like who's unwilling to carry another person's burdens? And he tells us in verse 3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. You see, there's this idea of how we think about ourselves impacts how we care for other people. Matter of fact, John Stott put it this way. He said, our conduct to others is guided by our opinion of ourselves. Isn't that interesting? Our conduct and how we treat others our opinion of ourselves guides how we conduct ourselves with others. If we think too high, we might not enter in. If we think too low, if we don't have confidence, we may lack the confidence to enter in. How we think about ourselves is guided by, our conduct to others is guided by our opinion of ourselves. And then Paul continues on. He says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. He says, don't think too much or too highly about self. Test your own actions. Do watch yourself by testing what you do against Scripture and the counsel of godly people. Take pride in self. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? These challenges to take pride, but it's a different kind of pride. It's a pride that without comparison. It's a pride that comes with godliness, and godliness should give peace and confidence to enter in when we feel led to enter in. And he says to carry your own load. Now, it's interesting that he just before he's talking about we should carry each other's burdens, and now he's telling us to carry our own load. What's interesting is those are two different Greek words. It's not the same thing. He's saying we should carry one another's burdens, and that Greek word has to do with it. When the load's too heavy, we should carry it. But over here, this carrying our own load, it's kind of like you carry your own pack. You do your part. In Christian community, we should all do our part. You've probably been around someone who won't do their part. It's not very fun, is it? But in the context of Christian community, we should all do our part and also carry one another's burdens. In verse 6, he says this, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So there's two easily understood principles. First, be quick and open to share. Be generous. It's real simple. Especially with those who maybe you're a small group leader, especially for those who are closely around you. And then second, you will reap what you sow. So just a general principle of life. And it's interesting how that comes just after he talks about the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? If you live a life focused on the flesh and on self, you will reap fruits of that. If you live a life focused on the Spirit, you will reap fruits of that. And then he closes with this. Look at verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The command is to not become weary. Do you feel weary? I know sometimes I do. But he's given us a challenge or an encouragement. Don't become weary. How do we not become weary? Through walking in the Spirit. Through spending time with the Lord, time in prayer, time in his word, time in Christian community, and looking to the hope of the harvest that brings glory to God. And then he says this in verse 10, which I appreciate so much. He says, therefore, because of all this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. You see, the process or program of carrying burdens is that as we have opportunity, as we are walking in the Spirit, we are to do good to all people. But there's a priority given here to the family of God. And I think that's interesting, but it brings up that idea of they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. It's the greatest apologetic of all.